darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. I suggest that you cover a different frightening game each week for the month of October. Your lives may depend on it. Beware the spook times.
This week in Your Parents' Basement, this game is creepy and kooky, mysterious and spooky, and altogether ooky. It's Fester's Quest from 1989 by Sunsoft for the NES, as they say in the UK. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the man that has been telling us we should play this for months. It's Huell Hauser.
Pugsley gives you TNT.
He does indeed. And our other regular co-host, his favorite Adams Family member is M. Bison.
I seek justice denied.
It's Todd Brisket.
Hey, I'm neat, sweet, and petite.
Is that from the show or the game? Or
that is from the theme song to the Addams Family from the 1964s.
Oh, wow. I never get to that part. I just remember the opening bit. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ybbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YBB homepage, ybbpodcast.com. This week's game is Fester's Quest. Released in 1989 by Sunsoft, Fester's Quest is an adventure game from an overhead perspective, kind of similar to another one of their games, Blaster Master. However, sharing the same engine is pretty much where the similarities end between those two. Fester's Quest is pretty awful. Uncle Fester moves incredibly slow, and his gun weapon is often ineffective. I believe it is a blunderbuss, as mentioned somewhere in this game. I dare say that the only good part of this game is that you replenish health by going to hot dog stands. Huell, you've suggested that we play this game because it is known as being one of the worst and thus one of the spoopiest. Did it meet your expectations?
Well, I had almost no expectations for this game because I'd never played it before. And the only reason I wanted to play it is because I love the title. The name Fester's Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Just it checks all the boxes for me.
The cover is also swell.
Yeah, the cover's great. It's like, sure, Addams Family, those were fun. We also those dumb movies, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, sure, it's Spooptober. They're a famous spoop family. Let's play Fester's Quest. And boy, is this game bad. I don't know where to begin. I mean, you covered it nicely with the ineffective gun.
Yes.
There's aliens, there's nonsensical items and pickups. I will say, but we'll get into this later, but right off the bat, the theme music is excellent.
It is, yeah.
The remix of the classic Addams Family theme song.
They got some beats behind it.
But it's like a Calypso remix. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah.
Please, everyone, rush to YouTube and just listen to the main theme.
If possible, Steve could drop it in right here.
Oh, crap. Now I have to do it.
Give him more work.
Thank you.
Oh, what a wonderful song that was.
Yes, fantastic. But yeah, it's, yeah,
the music is even the probably the music, best thing yeah. about this game.
The
really.
Level music's great too. It's, yeah.
It's got a lot of catchy divergent. Jaunty tunes.
It's divergent with the rest of the game.
I would say though, should they really get that much credit for putting, you know, one of the most famous theme songs in the world, like in, like doing a good version of that?
It's not just the theme song. It's a jaunty remix.
Yeah, but that's
and it's not only the remix. I'm saying that I'm saying the other music in the game is also pretty swell.
Yeah. All right.
Look, I'm grasping at straws for something to praise about this game.
Let's give it the high points first and then trash it.
Yeah. See, you know, open with or flies love honey. What's that thing? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I started this off. I did read the manual first, as I usually do, but I start off and there's these red blobs in the middle of the street. And like I walk into one and I'm immediately injured. One of my two blocks of health bar is gone. So I'm like, all right, I got to avoid these, right? So I walk around them. I run into like these weird frog jumping aliens. I try to shoot one. His tiny reaching gun. I shot it maybe 8 times. It still didn't die, and it ran into me, and I died. And that sums up most of my experience with this game. So I did realize you're supposed to shoot those red blob things to get power-ups to make your gun stronger. That made things a little better, and it also gave you light bulbs, which Fester famously puts in his mouth to light up. And the light bulbs let you see in the dark in the underground part, which I also died in so many times. Because you go into the underground, everything's dark, you just see weird silhouettes, there's rats running around, there's like blobs that run into you and you die. You die so much in this game. It's nonstop death, which I guess is cool if you're the Addams Family, you like that kind of thing. So maybe that's maybe that's part of the theme. I don't know.
I mean, a key component is you have 2 hits and then you die. Like,
oh, yeah.
You go back to the main menu there.
Yeah, you don't even just restart. You're just right back to the main menu. There's no lives. There's no. I mean, you can select continue, but that just brings you right back to the start. Like, there's.
Yeah, it takes you back to the start of the map, but you do keep any items and any health bar increases you get.
Okay, so any upgrades, which I never got, will stay with you. But yeah, once you upgrade the gun a little bit, it makes it stronger, but it also makes it shoot in this nonsensical pattern where you have to position yourself to the right or left to even shoot it.
Yeah, it's shooting it out like, in a sine wave.
Like, yeah, in like an S pattern, a sine wave, yeah. So like if your enemy's to the left of you, but you start shooting to the right, it most of the time just curves around them and they jump into you and you die. Like, I don't understand the reasoning behind most of the decisions that these people make.
I definitely had to resort to a turbo button to get anywhere in this thing.
Insane.
Because I just walk around holding down that turbo button, always spitting out my bullets.
Horrible. Horrible.
That's the only way I could get anywhere in this game.
Insane.
Yeah. Everything takes 20 hits to die. And, God. The worst part I found was... I'm not sure if they're flies or bees, but you would get stung by them and suddenly you're walking around at half speed and now you cannot get away from the frogs.
Yeah, and that's where I gave up because I was reading like how do you get rid of this bee sting, the sting which makes you walk at like 25% speed, and you get rid of it by going into some house later on in the game and Wednesday gives you a wrench and the wrench cures you from bee stings.
It is a vice grip.
Vice grip.
And these are mosquitoes. So in the manual, if an enemy mosquito stings you and slows you down, use this to regain speed.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get that unless you pick up a key somewhere, I guess by shooting those red blob things and then finding Wednesday later in the level. And it's just clunky, I guess, is what you could call it. Yeah. Like the design of this just makes
There's so much potential. Like they had a little bit better level design, better enemies, better little pieces here and there that made this game a little bit more playable, this could be a pretty good game. But it seems like they just didn't have any thorough play testing on this.
Yeah, did you guys realize that you had to shoot those red things to upgrade stuff?
I did after I walked on one, and then I got mad and shot it, and it blew up and left the power up.
Yeah, I walked into them and avoided them for so long until I read in the manual that there's these things you shoot to get items. I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, what is that stuff anyway? Alien.
alien goo.
Issue?
Some dirty a globule.
Dirty alien glob.
So this is, in the list of enemies, this is noted as a globule which annoys Fester along his quest. That is the description. And I would say that's pretty accurate.
Hugh, now, I think
we completely skipped over the intro to the game, which is a nice little cutscene. Did you guys catch that one?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Nice little cutscene of Fester. He's chilling out, drinking a pina colada on his lawn chair.
He's got sunglasses on. He's moonbathing.
Moonbathing, yeah. He is on island time.
Oh yeah, this is Fester's island time. He's loving
salt
it.
Fester's
light.
Island time. And in the background in the city, a UFO comes and abducts people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part of this game that I discovered is he's looking at
besides the music.
The music is pretty good, but the his sunglasses come up off his head without him touching them.
Yeah.
He's like, what?
That was incredible.
I thought that was funny and great.
Steve, I don't know your insane desire to skip every intro to these games, but you got to watch these things.
You know, I was just going to ask Huel what the plot is to this one, because I figured you knew because you probably read the manual.
Yeah, we should get into the story. Todd pretty much summed it up. So apparently, if you all remember, Mama, the crazy old lady of the Addams Family.
Yeah, Grandmama.
She predicted that UFOs would come invade the city, like in her crystal ball or whatever.
Okay.
So she had put a protective spell on the Addams Family house because she knew this was coming. So one day, sure enough, the UFOs come down, and as we all know, famously, there's aliens in the Addams Family universe. So they come down and invade the city, abduct everyone. The Addams Family is the only house protected, so now it's up to Fester to go save everybody else with his gun that we all know Fester has.
His blunderbuss.
Mm. Yes, his blunderbuss.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of which, are you finished there? Because real quickly.
Yeah.
Real quickly. The blunderbuss, Fester's blunderbuss, that's canon from the TV show. Possibly from the original comic strip. But I know it's been in the TV show. He does have that.
Okay.
Oh.
So it actually makes sense. I just thought they gave it to him to have some sort of weapon in the game. It
definitely improves the immersion of this game.
To have something to do.
A canon.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
So it says that Gomez has to protect the Addams Family house, so Fester must go out to rescue the townspeople.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, as you play the game, you go into other houses on the street, and other Addams Family members are in them. So I don't know how they got out there, why they're just hanging out in these houses with TNT and vice grips and stuff, but I mean, that part's kind of glossed over. Like, if everyone else has to stay at the house, I don't know how they got out there.
Well, it seems like, I mean,
it doesn't make sense.
It is appropriate characterization for Pugsley to be playing with TNT.
Yeah, that part makes sense, yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
There's also a missile, a noose, which summons Lurch to appear and wipe out all on-screen enemies. That's cool. The light bulbs, of course, that Fester can pick up. Money, so he can buy hot dogs. There's the hot dogs. Which is interesting. If everyone got abducted, I don't know how he's buying hot dogs. Like, who's selling them? But
Can you buy anything but hot dogs? Like,
it doesn't seem like it, because it says specifically in the manual, with 5 units, you can visit a hot dog stand and regain health. So I think that's the only thing you can buy.
Yeah.
5 units, you can buy one whole unit.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be more useful if you could take more than two hits for the first portion of the game. Like, I did find an extra life bar in, like, an abandoned house. Which
yeah.
I should probably mention that this game isn't only top-down. If you go into, like, houses and other little sections, and it turns into, like, a dungeon crawl.
Well, it's a 3D maze.
Yeah, 3D maze, which is weird. But no, I just got to a dead end in one of these houses, and it kicked me out of the house, and then I had three bars of life instead of two. I was like, oh, well, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah, there's alien bosses in these houses also. So that might be helpful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't find one, so... I don't know. I did read online that the bosses are shockingly easy compared to everything else in the game that kills you in like two hits. But
yeah, the bosses have specific shot patterns attack patterns they follow. As soon as you get that pattern down, it's over. It's all over.
Well, I did not get that far. I played this game for about half an hour, and I was done. Like,
you're brave.
I made it through. There's like kind of an underground level that leads to like another portion of the area map. And at that point, I ran into like these giant, I think they were like giant bees, and I just could not kill these things. And
bees,
as in bees' knees. And yeah, I just could not get past them, and I was like, life's too short. It's time to play our game for next week instead.
So, yeah, quests. I mean, must you come know, to an end.
I mean, this game is definitely not. It's far from perfect, but it's not the worst game we've ever played either.
At first, when I didn't know you could upgrade your gun, I thought this might have been the worst game we ever played. But once I figured that out. I mean, I think it's like beatable. You could
beatable.
Play it and probably win it at some point, but why would you is the other question.
Right.
Even the gun is so frustrating though. Like you upgrade it, so it's not like normal games where you just the more upgrades you get, the more powerful it gets. Like once you get to a certain point, it just alternates between gun types. And it's like there's one that gives you larger projectiles, but they still go in a straight line. And then there's two different waves. Like one is like a live wave, is like a wide wave, and then the other one's like a more narrow wave.
I think what you might be referring to is the fact that there's not only gun upgrades, there's gun downgrades. It'll shift your weapon level down if you pick it up.
I think that's what's happening to you.
Yeah, that could be what's happening. Is there a difference between like it? I think they're just called like gun, the power ups, right?
Right. The blue one increases and the red one decreases. So if you kept picking up the red ones, you're going back down in power.
Okay.
Which makes a lot of sense. I don't know how you didn't pick up on that. I mean, every game has that.
Yes, of course. So what was the fourth power level gun? Because it tops out at four, right?
I guess they become like almost like cannonball shaped, and they kind of spin around in a circle. It's still a weird wave; you have to aim in the right way to kill anything. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just the strongest, and it covers like more ground. It doesn't go like in a sine wave side to side. It just kind of spins in front of you.
Yeah. Well,
it was still impossible to use.
Yeah, the sine wave wouldn't be such a big problem, except that you are constantly in mazes that have like tight quarters and walls. So it basically means you can't use your weapon. Yeah, I had the TNT, and I found that you could use it on the frogs, which would kill them in one hit most of the time. But it was like an RPG game where it was too precious. I didn't want to actually use it in case I needed it to destroy like bricks or something else later.
Did it run out? Did you have like a set amount?
Yeah, Pugsley only gives you 30.
Yeah, you come across it once in the game. Pugsley gives you 30 of them, and they're just used for killing the baddies. And I've seen it recommended that you save them for the boss, but You could just use your gun on the boss, too.
Well, there you go.
Well, I'm just glad I won't ever play this game ever again. So,
Oh, no.
I probably won't worry about it.
Now that we covered this one, we have to cover the entire Addams family oeuvre and get to Pugsley Scavenger Hunt.
Well, maybe Steve can tell us about that right now.
Oh, yeah. I could probably do that. So, where the series is now. Fester's Quest didn't have a direct sequel. There were plenty of other Addams Family games, five different ones from 1989 through 2001, not including ports. However, the best Addams Family game, not video game, is Pinball, which is the best-selling of all time with 20,000 units sold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember playing that one.
Yeah, we have a local pinball place called Pinballs with a Z. And I put many a quarter into that Addams Family pinball game. It's a fun one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the more famous. And I am shocked to learn they had five different video games because I don't remember any of them.
Oh, really? I remember the Super Nintendo one because it got on the cover of Nintendo Power.
But those are post movie.
Yes, yes. This precedes the movie by 2 years. Yeah. So,
which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, maybe. Now, the movie was in development hell for many a year. So maybe they commissioned it to coincide with when the movie was originally supposed to come out or something like that. But yeah, that's most of the later games are clearly based on the movie and kind of just go more colorful. This one is, you know, it's not a dark color game, but I don't know, kind of muted.
Hmm. So, would this game be any better if you were playing as Christopher Lloyd playing Fester?
Mm-hmm. I would say yes. I mean, it's impossible to think it wouldn't be.
Yeah. Although it's weird.
The definitive Fester of our generation.
For some reason in my head, I always think, oh, Fester, Danny DeVito. Like, it's just,
that kind of makes sense.
It's just locked in my mind that Danny DeVito played Fester, but no, Danny DeVito played the Penguin. Like,
yeah, very easy.
Similar makeup, I guess.
They're just both, you know, short, thick, bald men. So,
from the 90s.
Yes. he probably didn't play Uncle Fester because he was busy playing the Penguin. So,
that's a good point.
It's the same year, right?
Just about, yeah.
I don't know.
Baddies
Let's
Return.
Go with it.
Baddies Let's Return. Say it 91, is. I think.
Baddies Return. Gotta wonder, yeah, back in the annals of Hollywood history, if he was ever offered that role. He's got to have, right?
Oh, it's got to be.
Role of Fester? Yeah. But I do not want to see...
Christopher Lloyd was hot off of Back to the Future at this point. And
91, yeah.
And he was choice number one. They said, hey, Chris Lloyd, all you got to do is shave that old noggin, we'll toss you a couple mil.
Mm. And then he went on to write Frasier. See his name right there in the credits at the end of every episode.
Like all of it?
Yeah, every episode, Christopher Lloyd. Yeah, it's good times.
Is that a joke that there's like two Christopher Lloyds?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Okay. This one is Christopher L. Lloyd.
I get things.
Also, by the way, Addams Family, we haven't had one of them in like 20 years. Just make a new one.
Where's that reboot at?
I think they are, aren't they?
I just assume.
Let me hit the latest TMZ hotline and see if they got anything in the queue.
If not, we're gonna have to cut this part out because we gotta work on a treatment.
We don't want to tease people. Yeah,
yeah. Danny DeVito is Uncle Fester.
Yes. Now it's his time.
Yes. What's his face? Miranda as Gomez.
Miranda. Yeah. Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Yeah, that guy.
Ah.
Gomez.
Gomez.
As Gomez. And then
Angelica Houston as Morticia.
Just cast her again.
You always need one callback.
At least according to the old Wikipedias, she thought that Cher was going to get this role. So we could just cast Cher.
That would have been terrible.
Well, Cher not really known for being an actress. She does have that look, though.
Yeah. Still.
You just need someone tall, angular, black hair. So I don't really know anyone else famous who would fit that. Maybe about Rooney Mara.
Eric
put
Trump.
Her in there. Melania Trump has the vacant attitude needed for that role.
Yeah,
but
Melania, she'd be perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can have toss a little flavor in. Viola Davis as Grandmama.
So what do you mean by flavor, Todd?
Good acting skills.
Yeah, exactly. Oscar nominations. We gotta get some of those in there.
Yeah, because the Addams Family reboot is gonna be up for consideration by the Academy.
We just need that cred. You just gotta get it on the poster. That's all.
Hey, she sells tickets.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what? And Anthony Hopkins, he's getting that yacht money from Transformers. I can't Viola Davis slum it with the Addams Family. That's a good point.
Vin Diesel as Thing.
Yeah, he makes an appearance with just his hand. It's a Groot thing.
Yes, yeah, it's kind of his thing now. He's not actually in movies anymore. He just gets his name on.
Write me the $20 million check. I'll do it.
This is Vin Diesel from the Fast and Furious franchise.
Oh,
I hope he calls it again.
I forgot he was a big fan. I'm sorry, Vin.
I hope he calls it again.
But so we should move on, though.
Probably.
Todd, did you have any positive things to read about this game?
Sure. I mean, I think we all think this game is pretty bad, but I do have two reasons why Fester's Quest for the Nintendo NES is the most best game of all time. All right, the first one is written by Dan in November of 2017, and his review is titled, "Are You Ready for the Strange and Crazy World of Fester's Quest, the NES Video Game?"
Whoa.
And he wrote, Dan wrote, "I purchased Fester's Quest because it is one of those NES games that are one of more fun games to play, in my opinion. I usually play all cartridge-based video games on emulator software on my PC, so I don't have to pay anything to play the full games. But every single ROM dump file I've ever found on the internet is broken and only lets you play the game so long before it locks up every time in the same spot. So I bought the original cartridge, being I had an NES video game console, and then I could play through the entire game without any problems. The game cartridge came in good shape and worked flawlessly, and it also shipped to my house in 1 week without any kind of damage. But it did have some glue residue on the face label left over from a sticker that was previously on it, and it had someone's initials craved on the back of the cartridge. This didn't bother me one single bit. As long as the game worked and had the face label on it, was the only factors I cared about. What else can I say? It's Fester's Quest and one of the coolest NES video games made. 5 stars.
Oh.
One of the coolest.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I do love that this guy just openly admits the only reason he bought it is because it doesn't work on an emulator.
Well, he's learned his lesson. That's all we need to know.
Mm-hmm. But now he has a collector's item.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Next review is by a frequent reviewer. And the title of the review is "The Fester's Quest Video Game for the NES is the Greatest Video Game in the Universe. It Rocks!" Smiley face.
Oh, no. Oh,
and
no.
And it's by Ivan Orozco, written in November of 2016. And this is one of his shorter...
It's two in a row. That's two in a row.
Yeah, one of his shorter reviews. And Ivan wrote, "The Fester's Quest video game for the NES is the greatest video game in the universe, a true classic, the best of the best. The Fester's Quest video game for the NES rocks, smiley face, 5 stars.
I think he has a template that he just plugs most of these into. Now, that may sound contradictory from last week when we covered Castlevania 3, but he actually said that time that Konami was the best video game company in the universe.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're going specifically a game, Fester's Quest can still qualify.
Sure, yeah.
As the best game in the universe. So he's covered all his bases here.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Thanks, Ivan.
Well, I have several one-star Yelp reviews this week. But I'm just going to read one. It is for Adam's Family Restaurant in Bud Lake, New Jersey.
Wow.
Now, three of these, Bud what? They all mention, oh, Bud Lake.
Star Wars, Mario.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Bud Light. Whoa. Oh,
cool.
Finally found a place to use it.
Oh man, it's good to finally steal from them instead of having them repurpose our hot IP.
They stole enough from us.
Yeah. But so the first three 1-star Yelp reviews for this place all mention that they found hair in their food. You know, whatever. This one, I have to say what happened with the bitted French toast today. My family was completely out of line and should have been handled a lot better. Both my sister and I have been in the service industry for over a decade. I myself being a manager and would never treat my guests the way he treated my family. It could have been kept simple, but no, it had to get ugly and ruin what should have been a nice Father's Day breakfast for my brother-in-law. It started with an order of French toast that appeared to have a bite mark in it while trying to send it back. And even the waitress agreed it looked like a bite mark. The manager came over and insisted that we bit into it and just wanted free food. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, it was gross, but we simply wanted it remade. The manager then started giving the poor waitress a hard time for siding with us, and just the insult alone that we were trying to return it for a freebie was out of line. He shouldn't be a manager there. He should have just replaced... He should have just replaced the French toast, and that would have been the end of it. It's a shame that people think everyone is out for a freebie. We just wanted to enjoy breakfast. A nice call to the health department is a must, and if he fires the waitress over this ordeal, we will be here to help with wrongful termination. The manager can keep his bitten into French toast. Just to prove a point, I would have paid for 2 French toasts, because we're not looking for a freebie. Sad the way this place is run. Won't ever return. We'll call the health department. Even the ketchup bottles had to be cleaned. Just gross and insulting. No stars at all.
Whoa, a no star.
That overview. So, Huel, did you have a chance to check out the manual for the old Fester's Quest?
I did. I got the manual for this. And unlike the game, it's surprisingly fun. It's got some background drawings of cobwebs. It's got weird spoopy font. It sums up the story in the beginning, does drawings of the items, like the TNT and the invisible potion, which I wish I got a hang of. Talks about the different buildings, a few of the enemies, and it has some helpful hints. One of which, Todd, is to use the turbo type joystick with rapid fire feature.
Are they in cahoots with the turbo stick industry?
Yes. It says it will be quite helpful. So they even know their own game is terrible unless you use the turbo button. So helpful hints are always fun. And they even got a disembodied hand pointing to each one, which I can only assume is thing, which is a nice touch. I mean, it's good. It's not great. It hits some good checkboxes. There could be a little more. It could be a little more spoopy, mysterious and spooky. So I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 Mario 2s. Ooh,
it's respectable. Ooh. Respectable.
Yeah.
Still not better than the... Yeah. Still better than what most of the rest of this game got. So.
Yeah, exactly. So music and manual, that's what we got going for us.
Yeah. So I have a rating system. It is called the Herzog rating system. And this week, Fester's Quest is coming in at Herzog Zwei.
Oh, so,
Herzog 2.
It gets the Golden Herzogs.
The Golden Herzog.
Yes, Golden Herzog for being Herzog Zwei. But not as good as Herzog Zwei. So
no. Isn't that like the Herzog Award of Excellence or something?
Yeah.
That's what you've told us before. All right.
Well, I'm very consistent with this feature. So if I've said it before.
Yeah, we all know. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So congrats to Fester's Quest for earning that. Yeah, a third plaudit. Even though it is a trash game. So, good for it.
Wait, what'd you say? A third plotted?
Plaudit.
Plaudit?
Yeah, P-L-A-U-D-I-T.
Huh.
What is that word?
Believe it's like an accolade. I think it's a word.
Never heard. Huh.
Praise.
Okay.
Plaudits. Plaudits. Oh.
Is there an L in there?
There's
PL.
Okay.
Yeah, PLAUDIT.
Praise. It means praise.
Yes.
Huh.
The network has received plaudits for its sports coverage.
Plaudit.
An act or round of applause. An enthusiastic approval, usually used in plural. Receive the plaudits of the critics.
Yeah.
Hey.
See, I even used it correctly.
Yeah. I mean, if there's one thing we say every week in our pre-show, it's that we got to educate the people out there on new things. And I think we've done it this week.
Plot it.
I thought what we always said is we're professionals but not experts.
Yeah, I mean, that's said sometimes, but we always say the main primary goal of our show is to educate.
Educate the monkeys.
I thought we always said that we can't be bought.
No, we've never said that.
Oh, all right.
We can be bought so easily.
Well, Todd, did you pop this into the old duck meterometer?
Yeah. Yeah, the ducktail scale.
Did you?
The ducktail scale, as we all know, and all the listeners know, and everybody knows, except Steve, has two primary factors, those being nostalgia and replayability. Nostalgia. No nostalgia for this game itself. This is my first time playing it. I've always heard it's trash. I've seen it walking the aisles of Blockbuster back in the days and seeing Fester's face on it, and it just did not interest me. No nostalgia for the game. I do have slight nostalgia for the TV show. I did catch that in syndication many times as a kid, so I like that TV show. I like that John Astin. He's a scamp. So, you know, no real nostalgia for this game. Replayability. Never touching this thing again. There's no reason to replay this at all, ever. So, combining those two primary factors in, I will clock in Fester's Quest with a 0.03 DuckTales.
Yeah. Oh. I went 0.08. I was hoping there was a little more nostalgia for the Addams Family franchise as a whole.
There is, but this game kind of puts a ruining mood on that.
Yeah. And that's probably where the 0.03 came from at all. So
correct, yeah.
I sprinkled a little too much nostalgia on it.
Yeah, the Addams Family expanded universe.
Yes, including Fester's Quest and the pinball game.
Mm-hmm.
That is canon.
The pinball game is stellar. That is a good table. That's a fun one.
Good table.
I think we've said more than enough on this game. But Todd, was there anything else you wanted to add before we moved on here?
No, not about this game. Ready to move on.
All right, then. Huel, how about you?
Yeah, please just listen to the title music. That's all I have to say.
Just pop it into your earballs and then move on.
Yes.
Toss it on those earballs and hit the dance floor.
Speaking of moving on, Todd, maybe you can play the email music for us.
Oh.
Todd, did you receive any mails?
Ooh, let me check my pop over to my email tab. I did get a mail. I did get a mail.
Oh.
And they wrote, What Nintendo 64 game is this? Dear YPB, the main character looks like Roy from Fire Emblem, if I recall. You fight things inside these blue lines, including wolves, and part of the game has this temple that is mostly red inside with a large wall tapestry showing some creature. And that was from number one Nintendo fan at yahoo.com.
I think I know what this is. And we played it. I think it's Quest 64. You fight inside lines because you're trapped in those those stupid octagons.
You fight tons of wolves. Yeah.
Yep. A lot of wolves. And the big castle, that giant empty castle you start out in, is a lot of tapestries. And the dude kind of looks like the Roy.
He's like a mini Roy.
A chibi Roy.
Chibi Roy, yeah. Mm.
I think I got it.
I think you're correct.
The lines thing really nailed it down.
Wow, we solved this one quick.
This might be the most we've ever helped anyone on the show. And we've helped a lot of people, but I think this is the most we've helped someone.
Should we just quit while we're ahead?
The show's over, guys. See ya.
Yeah, he is. He does look like a little Roy.
Yeah, but
correct.
He's got that Quail Man.
Oh yeah,
hairdo,
distinctive.
Mm. Well, Quest 64.
What's his name? Brian.
Same thing.
His name's just Brian. That's so stupid.
I'm sure we didn't comment about that on the show.
No,
we were probably above that sort of silly humor.
Meta humor.
We're normally very highbrow. Well, Huel, did you receive any mails?
I did get an email, and this is a previous. I'll just read it. Dear YPB. Sorry I couldn't call in this time. I'm on a plane to Saudi Arabia. Anyway, one of the Hulkamaniacs told me you guys covered Castlevania 3 last week, so I had to listen. Castlevania 3 is one of my favorite memories. Going into the Silver Dome in front of 600,000 screaming fans and lifting Andre the Giant 8 feet above my head and slamming him into the mat. It's a moment that defined both my career and wrestling as we know it today, dude. I was pretty disappointed you guys didn't bring it up on the show. Anyway, maybe you could answer this for me instead. What video game characters would make the best tag team, brother? And that's from Hulk Hogan.
Ah, Hulk. Fan of the show. He's called he's called in before.
It's WWE Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan.
He did previously call, but didn't have time to call, so he banged out this email before his plane ride and sent it over.
Yeah, I mean, when anybody thinks of Hulk, they think of Castlevania 3.
Yeah, an iconic moment. I mean, even everyone knows it. Him and Andre the Giant. Castlevania 3.
Andre the Giant, he is in so much pain. He could barely walk, but he put on a show for the people.
Mm-hmm. Hulk had the heart to lift him up and slam him into the ground with all his arthritis. It's really helping him out there. So, what video game characters would make the best tag team?
I guess we're talking about professional wrestling tag teams, right?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I feel like the obvious answer is like the Mario Brothers.
Mm, sure. That's a good one.
Yeah.
A lot of famous brother but type people out there.
I feel like it's also cheating a little bit because on the TV show, they were played by, one was a wrestler.
Oh, yeah. That's
Captain,
true.
Captain Lou Albano. So,
yes. I don't know if it's cheating.
That idea. I mean, that idea is just in my head, though.
Sure. Well, I feel like the other obvious choice is like the Double Dragon Bros because they're already kind of a team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the combo that'll sweep you off your feet. The tag team duo of Kirby and Q-Bert.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
They might be sweeping up a different body part.
Yeah. Yeah, Suck and Blow would be their tag team name.
We call the Pippins Boys. That's their tag team name.
Well, that could be their manager as Pippins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, obviously. But every time they're supposed to come out for a match, like they're late to the ring because Pippins is back there.
unknown reason.
Hold on, guys. Hold on.
We got to mop up back here.
Just a few minutes. Just a few more minutes. I thought of Chris Redfield and Leon Kennedy, the zombie busting duos from the old Resident Evils.
Yeah, but they don't let you have guns in a wrestling match.
So what? They're beefy cops. They could come around and then smash some heads.
My serious answer would be Ken and Ryu from Street Fighter
Ooh.
2.
That might be the winner.
What about Zangief and E Honda?
Ooh, boy.
They're more of the wrestler types.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. They would be like a heel tag team. Like they would be like the Natural Disasters, like one of those kind of teams.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah. This does remind me They should do Smash Brothers, but with wrestling, because that'd be fun too.
Yeah, they've done a few arcadey kind of wrestling games, but I think we're due for another one.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many realistic simulations.
Yeah,
of a fake sport. We need a cartoony one.
Yeah. Well, I received one mail this week. Hey guys, I have some free time for the next few months, unfortunately. What new game are you most excited about that's coming out soon? Thanks. Best wishes, Roman Reigns.
Oh boy.
Oh man.
Huh, okay. A little coincidence there.
Well, I know Hill's answer. I know Hill's answer. And I know Steve's answer.
Yes.
But do you guys know my answer?
We've talked about both. Huel and I have talked about ours in the Discord.
No, I don't know. So. I don't know any games coming up.
I don't know. Is there a new mod for Crusader Kings 2 that like lets you have two cousins that you can marry two cousins at once now?
Hey, that's in
like
the base game. That is in the base game.
Dude.
You don't need an expansion for that.
Get your S together.
Is there like a...
Is it like a Mormon expansion where you get a multiple wives?
No Mormon, because that takes place after the time period of this game. Hey, this is a hyper-realistic
very
game.
Early.
Yes, I mean, but obviously early. If you play as a Muslim, you can marry multiple wives, and they can be your cousins.
Hmm, okay.
But it's something besides that.
But Todd, what is it?
Oh, I don't know. I've been drilling over a little game coming out this week that I'm not getting because I don't have it, it's not coming out on my appropriate device. And that little game is Huel's, called Red Dead Redemption number 2.
Yes, I'm very excited. We are on the eve of it coming out.
Yeah, by the time
By
the time this show drops, Huel is going to be covered in his own filth.
And horse dung.
In his own horse, virtual horse dung, yeah.
Virtual horse dung.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll be about as dirty as someone from the actual Old West by the time this episode drops. From not having moved or bathed.
Mm.
I'll be sucked in. Steve, meanwhile, I believe most of us know your answer as well.
Yes, I'm excited for Fallout 76, which I have a PS4, so I get access to the beta on October 30th, maybe.
Really? Because,
well, the big news this week was that Xbox users got access the 23rd for 4 hours. And then Bethesda said, all right, thanks. Next play session will be Saturday. So they essentially got two beta sessions and maybe a third next week before everyone else, but that's it. So,
So that was what you were complaining about. I get it.
Yes. Although I will say, in fairness to them, it's not like them and Microsoft said, oh, by the way, because you're Xbox One owners, you get this like a week early and it's a special promotion. I think it's just, you know,
aren't they getting wiped? Don't usually you get wiped. You get destroyed. You get reset.
They said that that you can carry your character over. So
really?
At least so far from the first night of results, it didn't seem like nobody found like an exploit where it was like, oh, I got up to level 40 in one night. So, I don't know. I guess the idea is that they're stress testing, which is why it's just one system right now that they're testing on. And then next week, it's going to be all three of them, PC, PS4, and Xbox One. And then it hits the street, I think, November 14th. So,
okay.
But it's... You know, it's a Bethesda game. I'm sure there's no bugs.
Yeah, I'm kind of like I'm mad it's coming out so soon after Red Dead 2, but I'm also kind of glad that I'll be still playing.
Yeah,
Red
you
Dead
can let.
2.
I mean, they're going in a new direction with this one, so you kind of see how it plays out before you actually step
into.
So they
can maybe patch a thing or two. Because I mean, even their single player games are just
My favorite thing that they just did, Bethesda did, is they released a fancy little statement on printed paper that says, yes, we know everybody loves our games, and yes, we know they're full of bugs, and keep in mind that this is a new frontier we're stepping into, so there will be bugs. So they released some whole statement like that, you know, please don't complain about our bugs because we will have them.
Yes.
Well, I mean, everyone at this point knows also, so. Yeah, I'll let Steve run through the No Man's Sky month or two.
Yeah, he can fall out through the world.
Damn.
Woo.
And then by the time I've wrapped up Red Dead Redemption in 2 years, it'll be good to go.
I can get up to up to the max level, and then when you start the game, I just give you 5,000 caps and remove all of the challenge for you.
Perfect.
So yeah, I do regret that. Kind of happened to me with Borderlands 2, where I was playing it with a buddy, and I was like level 7 or 8, and just going along. And then me and him started playing together. He just gave me like $2 million in the game or something. And it's like, oh well, yeah, I guess I can just go buy new gear whenever I want. And it kind of takes out a large component of the game, but it was still a fun little romp. But let's move right along here. So, Todd, does anyone need our help this week?
We do have somebody that needs our help. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. All right, send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will help you out and keep your questions anonymous. And let's get to it. This one is titled, Why Is It Always Said That... Oh, by the way, this is very topical, because before I get into this question, murder porn, TV shows, podcasts, it's a hot topic right now. You got Making the Murder
very
Man.
Very popular.
You got Up and Vanish with your boy Payne Lindsay.
Up and Varney, yep.
You got so much murder stuff out there. My favorite murders. There's so much out there, and this question seems like it's falling on the heels of that. All right, Here it goes. Why is it always said that Ted Bundy, a cruel serial killer, was very charismatic when he looks so average? Like, come on, I've seen his pic. He doesn't look good enough to be considered charismatic. He's above average, not a Brad Pitt, George Clooney, or Ryan Gosling, etc. Not even close, and surely just couldn't be considered charismatic because of his, quote, behavior slash demeanor, had, quote, lured women. How stupid do you have to be to not know the concept of stranger danger? So why is it always said that Ted Bundy was very, very charismatic? I'm not trying to be rude. Just tell me why.
Okay.
Sounds a little, little victim blamey on this ask.
A tiny bit.
Asker part.
Well, I feel like you'd have to see him like in person. Like, I don't know. Like, just going off a picture, it's not much to go off of.
Yeah, you got, I mean, a picture, people take bad pictures.
Not to defend a serial killer here, but.
Hey, we can we separate a man from his art? Because, you know, people take bad pictures, but when you see him in motion, man, that's a, he might be rocking like a Kirby.
That's a smooth cat. Rocking like a Kirby. I don't even know what that means. Rocking like a Kirby. Yeah, I mean, look, I've never met the guy. You've never met the guy.
Yeah, you've never been seduced by him. I've never been lured by him.
Right. I don't see the problem.
Yeah. I made it safely through that minefield.
We did survive the Ted Bundy serial killer epidemic.
We were lucky.
It's right on that, you know, you can't really tell from a picture, but once he starts talking to you, he'll woo you. He'll whisper what you want to hear right in your, that big old earlobe of yours.
What? That famously big earlobe.
Yeah. A big old earlobe. Oof. Well, I don't know. Did we help that person?
Let's see.
Probably.
Why is it always said that he was very charismatic when he looked so average? I think we did. I mean, I'm no Brad Pitt, but I am a master of speaking and talking. And I can
often been said.
I can convince many a lady to hang out.
Be careful here.
Okay.
Specifically, yeah, I'm talking about my lovely wife sitting over in the other room.
It's already bad enough that I've gotten the family of Roman Reigns angry at us, but
you really have, and that's a big family.
Yes,
so you might have.
Yeah, his dad almost fought Vince McMahon when he didn't get the title a couple years ago. So hopefully, he doesn't get my address.
There's a lot of members of that family.
Well, we helped one person earlier in the show anyway, so it's okay.
We hit our quota.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We couldn't expect to help more than one.
Yeah. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Yeah.
Plot it.
And happy Halloween.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Wednesday gives you vice grips.
Yes, Wednesday, the character and member of the Addams Family, not the day.
Yes.
Now, sweet baby boys, we are finally out of the spoop season. And that makes me breathe a sigh of release, but... sigh of release. both.
In a way.
Yes, but unfortunately, because it's 2018, we are dealing with an even scarier season next, and that is election season. So here is a little snifferoo from next week's game.
So stay home.
He's had a really busy day today. He's met hundreds and hundreds of people at the hospital.
It's okay, boy.
That's Socks, our cat.
Why did he get called Socks?
Ooh,
Because why, Antonio?
Black and white.
Yes, and because... That's right, because his feet are white, right? So he looks like he's wearing socks. Smooth.
Can we sing another carol? Let's sing a song. Would you like to sing?
What do you want to sing?
Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Let's sing Jingle Bells first, and then we'll sing We Wish You a Merry Christmas, okay? And then if you want to come up one at a time in Pat socks, you can. One at a time, be real slow and sing. Wait. First, everybody from here over, first. You all sit down. We'll bring everybody up from here over. You want to come, Pat socks? And I'll go through. Just wait. We'll call everybody. Walk by. In a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Those on bobtails ring, making spirits fly.
When's your birthday?
My daughter?
Your birthday.
Oh, August 19th.